Stand, please, and turn to Joshua chapter 1. And as you're turning there, just wanted to say, you know, how much I love how the Lord orchestrates things and how His plans work out perfectly. About 2 weeks before Pastor Jeff asked me to speak this Sunday, I've been reading through the book of Joshua, and I came across this portion in chapter 1. And the Lord just clearly spoke to me and said, you know, the next time that Pastor Jeff asks you to speak, this is exactly what I want you to speak on. And then 2 weeks later, Pastor Jeff asked me if I would speak. And I just think it's a huge blessing how the Lord just works everything out. So if you would turn there, and we will begin this morning where it says, Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the setting, the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that we get to receive your word, Lord, and to read it, and it just is so powerful, Lord, for a believer's life, Lord. And I thank you for an opportunity just to hear your word once again. May it increase our knowledge and our understanding of you, Lord. May we continue to grow day by day to look more like your son, Jesus. We thank you and praise you now, Lord, and ask for your blessings now, Lord, in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. Please have a seat. Today we're going to take a look a little bit about the life of Joshua, and take a look at a turning point in his life. I'd like to start by giving you a little brief synopsis of events that led up to where Joshua finds himself today. You know, right now Joshua has become the leader and the commander-in-chief of the nation of Israel. You know, the nation of Israel, they left Egypt. They left the land of bondage. God had brought them safely out. They were actually made a short journey to the promised land. It really didn't take that long to get there. Next, Joshua and Caleb were two of the original 12 spies sent out to the land, and they gave a favorable report about taking over the land. They were excited. They knew the land was full of giants, but these two men knew their God was able to do mighty things. They did not fear as the other 10 did. They only saw the things that God had prepared for them, a land flowing with milk and honey. The nation later wandered for 40 years because of the complaining and grumbling and unbelief. They just could not believe that, you know, they thought they saw the giants and they feared. Joshua witnessed challenges to Moses' authority and call of God in his life. Joshua later experienced battles as a leader of the army. He was there when 2.5 tribes decided to settle outside of the promised land. Now Moses, his mentor, is dead, and the mantle of leadership is passed on to him. And now he's to lead the people into the promised land. You know, now we find ourselves at the beginning of Joshua chapter 1. The passage we are covering this morning breaks cleanly into two sections. In verses 1 through 5, God gives Joshua his plan and vision for the nation of Israel. It's going to be a very simple plan when we start reading through it. Verses 6 through 9 are God's commands for Joshua himself as a leader. There are three points to God's plan that he tells Joshua starting in verse 2. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, and the first point God says is, arise. He says, arise. The second point that God tells Joshua for the nation is to go over to the land. Go over to the land. And then the third point he tells them is to go over. In verse 3, it says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Now, basically, we can sum up these three points into number one is get up. Get up. He tells Joshua and the nation to get up. Point number two, he tells them to get in. Or actually, go in. Go in. And number three, he tells them to get busy and move about the work of the Lord. Those are the three things, three basic steps that God told them he needed to do. In verse 4, God provides the boundary of the land that he was given to the nation of Israel. In verse 4 it says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. Now if you think about that, the river Euphrates goes all the way into present-day Iraq. It's a large piece of land. He continues to tell them that he will give them all the land of the Hittites. And they were a great empire at one time. And to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. You know, there was a clear objective and plan that God had for the nation of Israel. The territory that he gave them was huge. It wasn't a small piece of land. It was a large territory. If we compare the vast size of what Israel actually was given in verse 4 and compare it to what they actually fully possessed, it is clear they did not fully occupy the entire land that God gave them. They did not completely occupy all the land that God had given them. And if getting this vast territory was not enough, the Lord tells Joshua three things that he will do for him in verse 5. Let's read. And it says, number one, he says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I mean, can you imagine what that would be like to have God tell you that no man will be able to stand against you all the day of your life? That would be encouraging if God sent you forth to do something for him, right? To me, I think, wow, that would be awesome if God said, no one's going to be able to stand against you in whatever you do. Number two, God tells Joshua, I will be with you. I will be with you. And I will not leave you nor forsake you. That sounds just like Jesus in our lives. He will not leave us and he will not forsake us. The Creator tells Joshua these three comforting statements to reassure him that God will be with him, which he probably needed to hear. Joshua probably needed to hear these reassuring statements. And as we move next to the second part of this passage that we're going to cover today, we read about God's command to Joshua. The Lord tells Joshua three things in this next passage, but he mentions them three times. In verses 6, 7, and 9, he tells Joshua to be strong and of good courage or very courageous. Be strong, of good courage, and very courageous. why I look at that and I say that these were not just statements that Joshua had the option to obey, but these were commands. These were commands that God had given to Joshua to be strong and very courageous. I ask myself, why? Why would the Lord need to tell Joshua this three times? Could it be that he needed it? Now remember, Joshua had seen mighty things over the past 40 years of his life. He had witnessed the plagues in Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the manna from heaven, and many other things that we probably could spend the next 30 minutes to an hour talking about. But now Joshua is the leader of the nation. He must get up, go in, and get busy, and move about the work of the Lord. He is the leader now. Let's say there must be more. He must have had some serious fear being a leader. You know, I think about in my own life when I've had the responsibility to lead. The first time I ever was given that responsibility, it was a little scary. I wondered if I had the skills that I needed to accomplish it. And there was fear there. But I was only leading 5 or 6 people. Joshua was leading a couple of million plus people into the promised land. He had spent 40 years under the mentorship and leadership of Moses. It'd be kind of hard to give that up, wouldn't it? Especially with a great man as Moses was. Let's take a look at why he needed to be strong and courageous. And there are 3 points of why he needed to be strong and courageous. In verse 6, it says, because he will divide as an inheritance the land. Joshua needed to be strong and courageous because he was going to divide the land as an inheritance. Joshua had just come from over 40 years of wandering, and he saw how the people had complained and grumbled. He had seen it. He had witnessed it. It would be safe to say there would have to be some who would complain about their allotted territory. Someone not happy about being in the lowlands. Someone not happy being in the hill country. With that many people, I'm pretty confident there would be at least 1 or 2 who would not be happy. All right? Verse 7, we observe, it says, he had to be strong and courageous that he may observe to do according to all the law which Moses commanded him. Joshua was going to need to be strong and courageous to follow the law. As a leader, he would need this. That way he could guide and lead God's people. Verse 9, Joshua could be strong and courageous because the Lord his God was with him wherever he went. Now, if you had a commandment like that, that God told you, I will be with you wherever you go, it would probably give you a lot of confidence, wouldn't it? To take the hill, to go into battle, or to do whatever it is that God is calling you to do. And you know what? Jesus is with us wherever we go. We can be strong and courageous because of God. Not because of ourselves, but because of the God we serve. There are 2 things God commands Joshua in verse 8. Number 1 is that the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. And number 2, you shall meditate in it day and night. Now for me, the question begs to be asked, why the intense amount of time reading and talking about it? Well, here's the reason. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. You know, as children of the Lord, and as I grow more and more, I relish and I realize that how much more I need God's Word in my life. How much more I want to talk about it. I want to walk it out. I want to live it out. And the more you saturate yourself with it, the more it just comes out. It just pours out of your life. In this verse, God gives Joshua these two specific commands, that the book of the law not leave his speech, and that he's constantly meditating on it. The use of the word may in this verse reminds me that there is still the free will of man, where we can still choose to observe or not observe the word of God. Let me give you an example from my past. There's a moment, and I think the youth on Wednesday night, they've heard me tell this story a few times. I like to call it my Nissan Sentra moment. You're probably wondering, what does this mean? Well, when my wife and I were a few years into our marriage, we were both going to college. We had two children. We had no money. But the best thing is, we had no debt either. You know, and I had an old car. Now, this car was in the habit of needing repairs about every other month. I don't know about you if you've had to constantly fix an old car, but it gets tiring, tiresome, weary. I was really getting tired of putting money into it. The brake system was actually completely failing, and I had enough. So I started thinking about how nice it would be to have a brand new car. So I packed up my wife, my daughter, and we headed off to the Nissan dealership. Just thought I'd take a quick look. Walked in, I started getting a check. But my overriding desire to have a vehicle that wouldn't break down every month got the best. I traded the car. Remember, we had no money, but I charged the down payment, signed on the dotted line, and drove off the lot with a new car. No worries. I was happy. My wife could drive around safely while I was at work. What happened next was a financial disaster of my own making, and it took us several years to get out of debt because of that one decision. And that is why I call it my Nissan Sentra moment. I affectionately remember it and call it, and whenever I get that check now, I always remember my Nissan Sentra moment. I think we've all had our own Nissan Sentra moments where we had a check from the Lord and maybe we didn't listen and we went off on our own path and it caused failure in our life. It caused heartache or maybe years where it took us to get out of debt. And Joshua, he's no different. When we look at the other events in the book of Joshua, we see that there are successes and failures in his life. For example, here are a few successes for him. The Lord exalts Joshua in the sight of all Israel in chapter 3. He does great and mighty things. The next thing, the crossing of the Jordan, the parting of the water, and Joshua and the nation crossing over. Next, the taking of the city of Jericho by the mighty hand of the Lord. These are great events that the Lord had brought about for Joshua and the nation. But there were also failures. The initial defeat by the city of Ai. The treaty made with the Gibeonites without consulting the Lord. You can say Joshua had his Nissan Sentra moment. Joshua is a man just like us. He could have been satisfied to settle on the other side of the Jordan before entering the Promised Land. He could have been excited about his victory at Jericho and said, "I'm done. I'm finished. I'm in. There's no reason to go any further." But what we see in the end of the book is a man who states, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We see a man who did not give up on what the Lord had called him to do. He pushed on. He got in. He got up. He got in. And he got moving about the work of the Lord. So how does this apply? How can we apply this to our lives? Well, let's looking back at verses 1 through 5, it starts with God's plan. First, do you know what God has called you to? Do you know? Or do you know what his plan or vision is for you? If not, I say, arise, get up. Now is the time to seek the Lord and find out what He has for you and for your life and for your family. Maybe you know what God has called you to do, but you're at the border, settling for the view of the Promised Land. Or you've gotten up, went in, however, you settled with the first victory and are now sitting back, not walking out the entire territory God has called you to. Then maybe you're the one who knows exactly what God has called you to. Following in the footsteps of Joshua, you've gotten up, you've gotten in, and you're treading every inch of the territory the Lord has called you to. I say, great, don't stop. There are those who need your loving example so that they can be encouraged to walk out fully the territory that God has called them to. What is the particular application that we receive from verses 6 through 9? And the first point is this, is the one God states three times, and that is, be strong and courageous. As in 2 Timothy 1:7 states, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. In 2 Peter 1, it says that He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I know there are times in each of our lives when we see or perceive what can cause us to tremble or fear. However, in verse 9, as God told Joshua, the Lord is with you wherever you go. The second point in this passage, in verses 6 through 9, is make the word of God an active part of each day. Let it be in your speech. Let it be on your lips as you communicate with your family, with your brothers and sisters, but also with those outside of the body. The third point is meditate on it. Meditate on it. As a former youth pastor we knew used to say, let God's word marinate in your mind, getting down deep. And I used to love that saying, because I love barbecuing. And I could visually see God's word seeping down into every crack and crevice of my being. There are times when just a portion of verse will be the focal point of my week, and it speaks volumes to my life. Finally, this morning, I have three questions for you. And number one is this. Are you settling outside of God's perfect plan for you? I have to say, if you are, get up. Find out what God has for you. Get in and get busy about the work of the Lord that He has for you. You will never be fully satisfied in this life if you are living outside of God's perfect plan for you. You'll never be happy. You'll never have that joy and peace fully. Number two, my second question is, did you start out strong, then settled for less than God's perfect plan for you? You got up, you went in, but you settled after the first victory. I encourage you today to walk fully all that the Lord has for you. Remember, God is with you wherever you go. And number three, are you the one taking the promised land, walking out fully what the Lord has called you to? I have to say again, don't stop. Stay the course. Hold on. Continue. Because your godly example is what others need to be encouraged to walk out the territory that God has called them to. You know, in the first two questions, in closing, there are times in my life where I didn't walk out fully. I can remember specifically when we were going to Calvary in Modesto. We first started attending the church there, and I was excited to be receiving and listening to the teachings of Pastor Damien. And I sat for many years. I actually refused to really serve because all I really wanted to do was to kind of receive. prior church I attended, I was, I don't know if I got, maybe I just got burned out, but there were some things that really chafed my hide. So I was not happy. I did not want to serve. I decided I was just going to sit. And I can still remember the Sunday morning as I sat in the sanctuary during second service. And Pastor Damien was giving a message that morning. And in that message, it felt like the Lord was speaking through him directly at me. The pastor would turn around. It felt like his eyes were locking dead center into boring into my soul as I sat there. And before I had sat many years in the same spot. But this time, I heard the message loud and clear. The Lord said, you need to get up and get working now. And I remember Pastor Damien was looking right at me and he said, before it is too late for you. I remember that. And from immediately after that service and that message, I got up, went straight to Pastor Damien and said, I'm here to serve. And he pointed me to someone, and that's what started my years of service with the Lord. Guys, don't wait before it's too late. If God is calling you to do something, remember, be strong and courageous because your God is with you wherever you go. You can do it. God is with you. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your continued love, grace, and mercy that you extend to each of us. Lord, I know in a time like this, Father, that we all need to be encouraged, Lord, that you are with us wherever we go, that we can be strong and courageous because of you, because of your Son, Jesus, and your Holy Spirit that lives in us. Father, I pray, God, if there are those this morning, Lord, that have settled or are sitting outside the promised land, that you would continue to gently pull them and woo them, Father, to take over the full territory that you have for them in their lives. And Father, I thank you as always. As we look to you now, Lord, in your Son, Jesus' name, amen.